If politics divide men, a good meal brings them closer together. So goes the motto for the elite gastronomic group, Le Club des Chefs de Chef. Its members are all chefs to heads of states, presidents, queens, even sultans, and yes, the pressure is on to prepare meals literally fit for a king. Once a year, they gather to share culinary secrets and cooking tips in capital cities around the world. This year, it just happens to be at the Willard Intercontinental here in Washington, D.C. If you're an aspiring chef or maybe just love to eat, give us a call. Our chefs will take your questions on what it's like to cook for their bosses. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is TOTN at NPR.org. Joining us now to fill us in on some of President Bush's favorite recipes is Walter Scheib, the chef for the U.S. President. He's with us here in Studio 3A. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Neil, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about the Club des Chefs de Chef. When did this get started?
Well, it's about a 21-year-old club, and we are probably the most exclusive chef's club in the world in that to be a member of the club, you have to be the chef of a head of state, as you said. And there are only so many of us. There are probably 35 chef members, and every year, somewhere between 25 and 30 will actually attend. You know, some others have duties that they have to attend to during the conference. But we travel to a different country each year, and this year we're here in the States, so it's my opportunity to host the group here in Washington.
And what do you have most in common, other than demanding bosses?
Well, obviously we're all honored to be service to our countries. We also have all gained the trust and respect of our respective first families and are able to serve them on a daily basis.
You cook, though, not just for the first families, but for their guests, who can sometimes be quite a few of their guests.
Well, you're absolutely right. We do everything from a bag of popcorn or a late-night snack. Their private dining, public dining, private entertaining, public entertaining, state functions, large picnics, everywhere from a family dinner to a state dinner for 900 to a picnic for 3,000 or 4,000 on the South Lawn.
Are your duties, for example, exclusively at the White House, or do you travel with the president? Do you cater Air Force One?
Well, no, Air Force One is handled by a different group of people, but we are on occasion requested by the First Family to travel with them. It typically has to be an official state function by U.S. law, so we have been to other venues to work for the First Family, yes.
These meetings that you have every year, this has got to be a great opportunity to share war stories and maybe collect a couple of tips.
It really is. It's the one time a year that all the chefs get together with other people who understand the very unique challenges that we face and can talk off the record about some of the war stories that we go through.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you have a state dinner, how far in advance do you have to plan? I mean, this is a big deal.
It really is. We typically get the notification that there'll be a state dinner a month or two in advance, and we'll get that from the social office, and the protocol department at the State Department will give us input as to any special dietary restrictions that we might be facing with the guest country. Mm-hmm. Then typically we'll put together several menus that the social secretary and primarily the first lady will review, and then she'll ask us typically to do some sort of tasting, and we'll review, you know, the actual output of those menus. And by that time, we'll have gone through several different versions of the menu. And a week out, we start through the purchasing, a couple of days out, the production. And the actual service, the cooking and the final service of the food takes place within an hour of the time of the actual service.
Wow. When we come back from a short break, we'll continue our conversation with Chef Walter Scheib and hear what it's like to cook for the President of Ireland and for the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. We'll also be taking your calls about what these very elite chefs do for their very elite customers. Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or email TOTN at NPR.org. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Today we're talking to chefs who cook for heads of state. What is it like to prepare dinner for the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia? And does the President of Ireland frequently feast on Irish stew? If you're a chef yourself and you'd like to swap anecdotes with our guests, give us a phone call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address, TOTN at NPR.org. And for a few of the chef's favorite recipes, you can visit the Talk of the Nation webpage at NPR.org. Before the break, we introduce you to Walter Scheib, the chef to President Bush and the First Family. Joining our conversation now is Rosalene McBride, menu master for the President of Ireland. She joins us here in Studio 3A. Welcome.
Hello, thank you.
And also with us, Emmanuel Kyriakides, the chef to His Royal Highness, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. He's also with us in the studio, and thanks very much for coming in today.
Good evening, Neil.
Rosalene McBride, Irish food often seems to get a really bad rap. Is this deserved?
I don't think it is. Maybe it has in the past, and a lot of tourists, maybe when they come to Ireland, that they just visit, you know, pubs and places like that. But the food has changed a lot in Ireland.
So and a lot more than a ploughman's lunch these
absolutely,
days.
Absolutely, yes.
What are some of the President of Ireland's favourite dishes? I read that she often orders sausages, beans and mash when returning from a trip abroad.
That's right,
yeah. A taste of the old sod.
Yeah, that's right. She likes, well, obviously, like any head of state, they would eat, you know, if they're at state functions, they would eat a lot. So when they come home, they like to eat light food. So one of her favourites would be tomatoes with balsamic vinegar and some Irish homemade brown bread. And of course, when she does come back, maybe from foreign trips, yes, she would like her eggs, beans and chips.
Emmanuel Kyriakides, this is a Greek name. We're not fooling anybody here.
That's right. It's a Greek name.
So how did a Greek end up to be the chef for the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia?
Actually, there was an announcement about the job. So I did apply. We were about 50 people. We are in the process. We left about 15 people, and we cooked for the prince. Mm-hmm. And finally, we were five. Of that five, I'm the one that get the job.
Have you ever seen the show Iron Chef?
Yeah.
This sounds a little bit like Iron Chef.
Something like that. Yeah.
So when you cook for the Crown Prince, do you cook Greek food or Saudi food?
Actually, international food. But he's fond of Greek cuisine and of course of Arabic cuisine and Saudi.
So what are some of his favorite dishes? Not the international dishes, we probably know those.
He likes rice. So one of his favorites is salik, that is Arabic rice, a kind of risotto that we can say with chicken and poured with laban, that is a liquid yogurt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Again, if you'd like to join our conversation, 800-989-8255. TOTN@NPR.org is our email address. And let's begin with Rob. Rob's on the phone from Driggs, Idaho.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
I think we're all very well. Thanks. Very much. Thanks.
I'd like to ask the chefs how much time they actually spend on the line cooking. I'm a line cook. I just finished working an 11.5-hour shift yesterday, and I was just wondering what their days are like in the kitchen.
On the line cooking as opposed to drawing up menus, being an executive, that sort of thing. Rosalene McBride?
Well, it depends. If you have a dinner for 60, you're going to be in the kitchen more than 8 hours. You could be in 10 to 12 hours. And when we're not so busy, try and stay behind the scenes and do some planning and ordering to make sure maybe if there's a state visit coming up that you would be well prepared for that. But quite a lot, it would be more than 8 to 10 hours in the kitchen.
Emmanuel, is that the same for you?
Yeah, it's quite the same, but unfortunately for me, it's 24 hours cold, so I have to be there 24 hours on duty.
And Walter, let's not forget you. Is your great pleasure the cooking, or is being the grand chef that's your job?
I think everybody that cooks for a living in whatever capacity got into the business because they loved it first. It is an art form, and if you don't feel it in your heart and in your blood, you won't be successful at it. As your caller was saying, it does require a substantial mental and physical commitment, and all of us make that commitment, but you really have to love it.
Mm-hmm. Rob, you hoping to become someone in their position someday?
Oh, no, I gave that up. I'm just a line cook so I could ski all winter and fish all day during the summertime. Chefs don't get to do that. They have to work too much.
They have to work too much. Thanks for the call, Rob, and good luck to you.
Thanks.
Here's an email question from Adam Knox in Salt Lake City, Utah. Are you looked to for nutritional advice as well as preparing the meals, or do you work in conjunction with a professional nutritionist for the day-to-day foods? Anybody want to? Emmanuel?
Well, actually, we do have nutrition. We have a nutrition department that says us what we can and what we should. So it's a big deal of programming and in advance thinking of what will be the meal. But that doesn't apply all the time. Sometimes His Royal Highness don't like a food. It doesn't care if he's hygiene or no. He will eat whatever.
All right, let's get another caller on the line. Kate is with us from Buffalo, New York.
Hi!
Hi!
I feel like it's celebrity. I'm on the radio. I also was a cook when I was in college in Wyoming, and I had this incident one time where we were cooking for the governor of Wyoming, and things just went horribly, horribly wrong. And I was wondering if that had ever happened to these chefs, like, where it was just a nightmare situation. And if so, how did they handle it? Like, what was the situation? And I guess I kind of need to know I'm not the only one.
In the interest of protocol, we'll ask this question to Walter Scheib.
Well, obviously, anybody who's been in the food industry for any length of time knows that it is a free-form business, and things happen, and sometimes things that you don't expect happen. One of the differences between working in a first residence, as I do, is that we're given the time that you can practice and rehearse and try many of the dishes that you'll be doing, especially for a state function or any high-end function. We would never want to be so presumptuous as to experiment on the first family. Anytime something, a dish makes it to a first family state dinner, it's been rehearsed a number of times, so any of the unexpected hopefully have been worked out of it. So typically, no. It's a little bit different than a hotel or restaurant. If you're having a state dinner, you can't just comp a champagne at the end to try to make up for the meal.
Rosalina, do you have...
Something happened to me once. We had a state lunch, and normally you would have the dietary requirements in. And just as the meal was going out, I was told that one of the guests was vegetarian, but we would always have a backup vegetarian. So just for a split second, you were just thrown. Because you can't afford really to be thrown when it's a state, because with the protocol, everything has to go quickly. But we would always have a backup vegetarian dish for...
And that time you did?
Yes.
So planning
absolutely.
Ahead.
Oh, yes. Planning ahead is very important.
And you, sir?
Actually, the key is planning ahead. So if you have in advance information, you don't have to. You are not in a hotel business, so you are not afraid of that.
Kate, you're the only one.
No. Well, that doesn't surprise me. I was a terrible cook. I had a question, too, really quick. If you serve something to the president and he doesn't like it, does he just go to bed hungry, or does he request something else? I mean, are they pretty decent about, you know, getting something, you know, sort of being flexible about their menu, or, you know, or is it just tough luck if they're
Walter Scheib,
what they're served?
Do you have
don't like what they're served?
Backup macaroni and cheese?
Well, typically you get to know the first family's wants and needs very quickly, and you learn to know what they want to want. But clearly he is the president, and if he doesn't like it, he'll get what he chooses.
Thanks for the call, Kate. Better luck next time. We're talking with three chefs of state. Rosalind McBride, who's the chef to the President of the Republic of Ireland. Emmanuel Kyriakides, who's the chef to His Royal Highness, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. And with Walter Scheib, chef to the President of the United States. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And now let's talk with Brian, who's with us from Reno, Nevada.
Hi. I figure that tasters have pretty much gone by the wayside. Nobody tastes the king's food before you give it to them. But what do you do to make sure that the food you're giving your leaders are safe?
This is an issue that all of you have to be aware of. Emmanuel Kyriakides?
Well, actually, there are restrictions of security that I couldn't answer to this question. So, but there is something to do.
So you have security in place, so that which you can't tell us about.
Cause for sure.
It's security in place. Are there strictures?
Yes. Well, you would use a food supplier that obviously that would be cleared for security, and then you trust them that they're going to give you the best product.
Walter, again, are there things that you can't tell us about?
Unfortunately, so. There are multi-layered security things that we have to go through, and unfortunately, Secret Service really doesn't want us talking at all about that. I'm sorry.
Okay, we could tell you, Brian, but then we'd have to shoot you.
All right, well, thank you.
Appreciate the phone call. Let's go now with Raymond, who's with us from Sanford, North Carolina.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
I have a question for you, and this is something I've always thought about, and I saw it in a movie called Dave. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, about this guy who's essentially a twin of the president.
And takes over for him, and antics ensue, but
exactly.
Go ahead.
Exactly. Yeah. My question has always been, and with all the heads of states, do you ever have, and I've done it, and I guess my friends have done it, has the presidents or heads of states just said in the middle of the night, just gotten out of bed and said, I want a sandwich, I want something, you know, just something to eat in the middle of the night?
Walter Scheib, I guess that's to you.
Well, absolutely. Typically, you get to learn what the president's habits are, and it isn't a frequent occurrence, but if that's what they want, we have somebody on resident staff 24 hours a day just to take care of that.
So they just don't go down and just say, look, I want to make myself a bologna sandwich. I mean, not you make it. They just do it themselves.
Well, there is a private kitchen up in the residence level, and if they chose to have some of their own foodstuffs up there, yes, they would do that.
Okay.
All right. Rosalie McBride is the...
Yeah, I would be the same as Walter. You know what they're like. So they would have dinner at 6 o'clock. So if they do feel hungry, there would be a supply of their what they like in the fridge. And like maybe for the present, there'd be some carrots and celery to nibble at if she's hungry, but she wouldn't want to be eating too much after 6 in the evening.
Okay.
Manuel, is actually quite the same to us as well, but there might be something new, or in the night they might call us for ice cream that we might not have, or a dairy product or something we have to produce.
Thanks very much for the call, Raymond. How big is the personal, the irreducible core? I mean, we know pretty much what the first family is. The president and his wife, their daughters are not often in town. But how many people might be in the household of the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia?
Actually, the family of His Royal Highness is quite big. It's his wives, of course, his sons, and of course all the staff inside. So we are quite big.
Mm-hmm. And the president of the Republic of Ireland?
The president, there's five in the family. So for evening meals, it would be the family only. But then for lunch, it could be 10, 20, mm-hmm. and dinners, 60.
And I was thinking of the first family. Are you responsible for the staff as well, Walter?
Yes, we have a kitchen that does just the staff, and they probably serve anywhere between 100 and 150 meals a day.
Okay. Here's a caller, Claire in Columbus, Ohio. I'm sorry, Claire's on the other line. Claire in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, hi. Great. I have a question. The club that you guys are all in, can you continue to be a member after the head of state you're serving is no longer in office?
Aha. So, Rosalene McBride, when the president leaves office, do you leave office with her?
No, I continue.
You stay
yes.
on. So you're like a permanent member
yes,
of this club.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Well, until I decide I don't want to work anymore.
Open your own place.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Kyriakides?
Actually, I'm on contract, so because it's not actually my country, Saudi Arabia. I come from Greece, so if they don't want me anymore there, or they will kick me out, or if I choose to go, I will go myself.
And come November, is this an election on your cooking as well?
Well, all of the resident staff, and there are about 90 of us that are in service to the presidency, as opposed to president, sort of a fine distinction. But all of us, there are many that have been there 25, 30, 40 years. So we're as good as our last omelet or our last floral display and can be let go at any moment. But we hope to be able to continue our service. To
the I always thought of my mom the same way. Claire, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank our guests today for taking the time out during their meeting to come and join us here in Studio 3A. Walter Scheib is chef to President Bush and the First Family. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Neil.
Rosalene McBride is chef to the President of Ireland. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Neil.
And Emmanuel Kyriakides is chef to His Royal Highness, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
They were all with us here in Studio 3A in Washington. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.